Well, good morning, 12th Street.
Good morning.
It is great to see you here this morning. It's what a great way to start a Sunday morning, thinking about heaven, right? I mean, isn't that our motivation? Isn't that a goal that we have for our life? And listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, what we want to do is help you come to know Jesus today. And I'm looking forward to, we've got a lot of great things planned this morning. First of all, next Sunday is a time change Sunday. So I got a quick video here to help remind you to change your clock.
What is going on in there?
Oh, man. You just missed the pyrotechnics. In the choreographed number by the choir, hashtag amazing. This has got to be the greatest thing that I've ever seen anywhere.
I mean, I'm on my third Kleenex, bro. But I'm sure they're going to put it on the Facebook page soon.
Right. What? Facebook? No. No, you know what? That is what's wrong with this church.
The Facebook page?
No, I'm talking about the Facebook. I'm talking about the sheer fact that I've been coming to this church for years. For years! And the service times have always started the exact same time. For years. And then all of a sudden, out of left field, they want to change that. Did they consult anybody? No, they did not. Did they stand up there and ask the congregation, "Hey, congregation, what do you think about this?" No, they did not. I didn't vote for this! You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to march in there, and I'm going to release the Kraken on the pastor, and then I'm going to go find another church.
Wait.
What are you doing? Why didn't you just tell him it's daylight savings time?
Stop the sermon! Somebody better call the fire department, because I'm about to stop dropping.
And miss this? Yeah.
All right, so next Sunday, set your clock forward. Okay? Otherwise, you'll show up and be late, all right? So make sure that you remember that next week. We have a lot of really good things going on, and we're going to go through our announcements, and then we have two other special announcements. So take your bulletin. We're going to run through these real quickly. First of all, our annual youth murder mystery dinner is on April 22nd. Tickets are $20. This helps be a fundraiser for the youth group to go to Detroit with Life Changers, and it's a fun night. It is worth the money, all right? It's better than going and eating at any restaurant. The food is always good, and the kids do a wonderful job. And we have Matt Hammett coming here on April 2nd at 6 p.m. in concert. Tickets are on sale at Eventbrite, but also Brian Cooper will be in the lobby area after the service, and he also will he'll be selling tickets for the concert as well. And remember, whoever sells the most tickets or gets the most people to come out gets to have dinner with Matt Hammett that night. All right, so make sure that you are doing your part to help fill this place up on that Sunday night. Our annual Easter egg hunt is Saturday, April 15th at 3 p.m. Krista has a table set up in the lobby. If you would like to help with filling the eggs, we fill 8,000 eggs, okay? That is a lot of eggs. And so if you could help out with that, just see Krista out in the lobby. The Easter cantata is April 15th at 5 p.m. and Sunday, Easter Sunday at 11 a.m. Make sure that if you'd like to have a part in that, see Paul. Paul will stick you in the choir. Or you can see Julie. She's got some roles for extras and some help with staging and things like that. The leadership class, the 21-year irrefutable laws of leadership, we're going to bump that to April 19th. Wednesday, April 19th will be the first meeting for that. And so if you'd like to be part of that, there's a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center, or you can see Pete Pollard. And save the date, ladies, for Wednesday, May 10th. The ladies, LAC, is sponsoring a trip to Holland, Michigan for the Tulip Festival. The details are in the bulletin, and it's open to all who would like to attend. I want to make sure I say that. And the bus will be stopping at 3 p.m. at Russ Restaurant for dinner before coming home from that. Vacation Bible School, get it on your calendars. Get ready to pray that ministry up and also be ready to work. It's Monday, July 10th through the 13th. And then I think that's most of the announcements we need to hit. Upward Closing Program is March 19th. We're almost there. And if you would, even if you weren't a part of Upward, if you could come out and help just be a greeter, an usher, or help serve the pizza that night. It's going to be a really big night. We're expecting to have about between 500 and 600 people here that night. And so if you'd like to come just greet people and help us out, that'd be a huge blessing. Well, Dave and Carolyn Fagley would like to come up and share something with the church.
Good morning. Dear 12th Street family, Dave and I want to thank each and every one of you for the amazing opportunity that you have given us to travel to Uganda to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Daily, we are praying for guidance and knowledge to learn the African culture. This will be an experience we will never forget. Each of you will be with us in our hearts. Please continue to pray for us daily for safety, traveling grace, and help to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit. All of our love, Dave and Carolyn Fagley.
Thank you, Dave and Carolyn. Looking forward to we're looking forward to sending them out on July 15th, I believe, or 16th. That they leave the 13th, so the Sunday before that, we will have a special service for them. But they're excited to go. We've been meeting regularly, talking about the role that God has for them. So looking forward to that. And then where is Frank? Come on up here, brother. Frank is with Bethany Christian Services, and he has been doing a wonderful job of trying to keep people involved with the ministry. And we've got some people from our church that are helping with being surrogate helping out in short term with children that need some foster care. And so Frank's going to come up and just share real quickly about what the Lord's doing and an opportunity that you might have. Oh, you can come on up with him.
Amen. Hey, Pastor Pat.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Okay, so I think I've been given like 2 minutes to do this. So how many people give me 2 minutes to just say what I said? That's 2 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Praise God. Praise God, Pastor Thad, and to 12th Street. Really quickly, thank you, Tom, for inviting us into the Sunday school today. My wife and I have been on a mission to just kind of alarm the churches that we need as much help as we possibly can get in foster care. You have to be careful, that anointing that hit you up here, and before you know it, you'll be out. Anyway, so like what we've been saying is that we're desperate for respite. Respite is like temporary substitute providers offering their homes for a couple of hours, maybe 2 to 3 days, maybe up to 5 days, not that long though, but just helping to babysit and helping to give foster parents just a quick relief so they can go out and maybe have some dinner. Maybe if we have emergency intakes for children who have been removed from home, so that they would have a place to be placed in until we can find a permanent home for them. And just to help provide some relief for all of us, not just Bethany, but for all of the agencies who are experiencing a deficit in respite. Now, it'll be good for you guys to know that that I was told I had 2.5 minutes, but I set my clock and started it before I started walking. So now I'm all the way down, and I'm all the way done. Again, my name is Frank. This is my wife, May. I work for Bethany. She supports me in the ministry that I'm doing. We love children, and I am going to start using this phrase that I heard Tom say this morning, and I had to write it down. We are looking for people who are willing to love kids like crazy, you know. So if the kid could, I consider myself an ambassador for the children, and if they could speak, I know they would say, I'm looking for someone to love me like crazy, love me like crazy, love me like crazy, love me like crazy. And we're looking for somebody to do that and some people to do that. And if you guys want to get involved, you'll have my number. You can contact me, and I'd be more than willing to take you to lunch, dinner, meet with the group, bring pizza. We can do whatever we need to do to get it facilitated. I'm looking forward to it. God bless you. 12th Street. Thank
you. All right, let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we meet here together, we anticipate heaven, but we also know that there's so much here on earth that you have for us. And so we do pray right now for Bethany Christian Services. We pray that you would be with Frank and with all those who work with him as they try to provide good homes for young people, Lord, that need to be loved like crazy. And I pray, Lord, that we as a church, every single person that's here this morning, we would consider the role that we can play and how we can be a help. And Lord, we look forward to serving you in partnership with them. We also thank you, Lord, for Dave and Carolyn as they are in the early preparation stages for getting out to Uganda. I thank you, Lord, for their heart to say, as a couple, we're going to go and we're going to serve our Lord. And Lord, I know that you will do great things through them and with them. But Lord, as they prepare, I pray that we as a church would really lift them up, that we would surround them. I thank you, Lord, that we were able to help financially. I know, Lord, that there's more that that can be done for them. But Lord, we just know that most of all, they need their spirits to be lifted up, that their engagement with their preparation process needs to be just as serious as the day that they leave. And so, God, just we ask that we would surround them as a church and give them the best help possible. And Lord, as we start to bring praises to you this morning, as we continue in our worship with you, I just pray, Lord, that you would be pleased by the way that we sing. Not just the words, but Lord, our attitudes. And Lord, as we go to communion with you this morning, as we go to communion with each other, I pray that we truly would be able to say we have a great God that we love, that we serve, and that our hearts would be knit with yours. And Lord, if there's any here that don't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray this morning, instead of taking communion, they would take time to reflect on their life and consider that they need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will be saved. And so, Lord, to you be all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing as we sing Glorious Day. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. Word became flesh and light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried sins far away, rising he justified, freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. Mm-hmm. despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Hands that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Separate me now. shed for me. There's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave. Your glory fills the highest place. What can separate me now? The veil, you made a way. When you said that it is done, you tore the veil. You made a way. When you said that it is done. And when stand before me, I know you love me. I know you love me. At the cross I bow my knee, where your blood was shed for me. There's no greater love than this.
Cry out to you because you're such a great God who loves us. Even when we failed you, even when we were sinners, you sent Jesus Christ to come into this world and die for us. We thank you for that gift, Lord. We thank you for eternal life, something that nothing else could bring but Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we enter now into a time where we take communion, I pray that our hearts would be united together. Lord, any sin that we have in our life, Lord, we confess it now. We tell you that we're sorry for failing you. But also, Lord, we know that as we ask for forgiveness, you are faithful and just. You will forgive us our sin, and you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, Lord, we thank you for your wonderful gift. Help us now as our hearts settle to be able to just be real and honest before you during these moments. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning as we go to communion, in Luke chapter 23, there's a really, really great communication that takes place between Jesus and his Father. And this morning, our whole theme for the message is communication. So I thought, what a great way to lead into communion. When Jesus was on the cross in Luke chapter 23, the first thing that he says in verse 34, as he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He says that as they mock him. They took his clothes, and they gambled over his clothes. They were making fun of him. And what does Jesus do? How does he respond? How does he communicate to the Father? I mean, I'm throwing lightning bolts. I'm coming down off the cross, and I'm cracking skulls. But not Jesus. He looks down and he has all the power in the universe, all the power in the world. And he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them. And then in verse 43, the next thing he says, that there are two thieves, one on his right, one on his left, and they're mocking him. And finally, one of the thieves turns and looks at him and says, remember me when you go into your kingdom. The next statement that Jesus gives, the first statement was forgiveness. The second statement is forever. He looks at this thief, a man who has done no good except for acknowledge Jesus as Lord. And Jesus looks at him and he says, today you will be with me in paradise. He offers him forever. What a great offer made available to each one of us. Jesus wasn't thinking about getting even. On the cross, he was thinking about forgiveness and forever. And then the last thing Jesus says in Luke 23, verse 46, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he gives up the ghost. The last thing that Jesus does on the cross is he looks to his Father and he communicates the end of sacrifice. And that's why we take communion, because the sacrifice has already been made for each one of us. He let his body be broken. He let his blood be spilled so that you and I could have forgiveness forever and a Father in heaven. Bo, could you ask a blessing on the bread before we take communion? The night that Jesus was betrayed, after supper, he took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body, this do in remembrance of me." And then Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. I'm so grateful that Jesus shed his blood so that my sin could not just be covered, but be cleansed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." Brian, could you ask a blessing on the fruit of the vine? Jesus took the cup. He said, "This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." At this time, I'll ask the ushers to come forward to take up the offering. And we thank God for his unspeakable gift.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for bringing us here to worship you and to not only in the singing and listening to the message, but in our giving too. Lord, we just ask that you guide those who give and those who cannot. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Try to keep you in the walls inside my mind. I try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I tried to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been king of the world? Just a whisper of your voice can tame the seas. So who am I to try and take the lead? Still I run ahead and think I'm strong enough. When you're the one who made me from the dust? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? I tried to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? I forget that you've always been the king of the world. Oh, you set it all in motion. Every single moment. forget that you've always been the king of the world. I tried to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? You will always be the king of the world.
Well, at this time, we'll dismiss the children to Children's Church. And if anyone still wanted to go to home plate, Brian can still take some payments, but it has to be done today. So if you wanted to go to the Detroit Tigers game, today is the last day. Last week was going to be the last day, but you can still get your money in today if you'd like to do that. Well, let's take our Bibles. There's several places where we're going to look today in our Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. As we talk about communication, the Pentagon said that they had too many generals running around, and so they decided to get rid of some of them, and they offered $10,000 in severance pay for each inch of their body to be measured however the general chose to have it measured. So the Air Force general went first, and he said he wanted to be measured from head to toe. He was 69 inches tall, so he received $690,000 severance. Next up was the Army general. He wanted to be measured from the tip of his finger to the tip of his other finger. And he was 80 inches, and so he received $800,000. The two generals were very happy with their severance pay. Finally, the Marine general came up. This is for you, Scott. He said he wanted to be measured from the elbow to his fingertip. The man said, "Sir, do you know how much the other generals received?" The general said, "No, sir." And they said, "Well, they received $690,000 and $800,000 respectively. Are you sure that's the way you want to be measured?" And the general said, "Just do it." And so they put the tape measure at his elbow, pulled his sleeve back, and then they tried to pull off his glove, and there was no hand underneath his glove. And the man said, "Where's your hand?" The general said, "I left it back in Vietnam. Measure from my elbow to the tip of my finger." A husband and wife were at a party, and the subject of marriage counseling came up. "We'll never need that," the husband said. His friends looked at him curiously. He said, "Listen, my wife was a communications major, and I was a theater major. We don't need any help with communication in our marriage." And the friends looked at him and said, "Well, how does that help?" And he said, "Well, my wife communicates very clearly, and I pretend to listen." Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 19, Proverbs 10:19, it says this: "In the multitude of words, there wants not sin, but he that refrains his lips is wise." The more you say, the more trouble your words get you in. Verse 20, "The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." The Bible has a lot to say about our mouths, our tongues, and our lips. And we're going to read through several verses right now. And as we read through them, we're going to apply them in just a moment. But just listen to what these things say. You know, literally, we hold life and death in the power of our mouth. Our tongue can issue to people freedom or bondage. Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." We can answer people with softness, which will turn away wrath, or harshness, which will build more wrath. In verse 2, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness." So your tongue will either build up and aid and make things better, or it'll make a flood of worse things happen. Verse 7 in chapter 15, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge. That's such a great thought. That you can distribute knowledge to others with your speech. In chapter 21 in Proverbs, in verse 19, a man told me one time this is his favorite verse, and I thought he was foolish. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. And then in Proverbs 27:15, it says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. All right, well, you know what? The way we communicate makes us pleasant to be around, or, as it says here, it's like the rain dropping on you all day long. In Proverbs 26:21, it says, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. How many times, men, do we take a fire that's already lit and with our mouths turn it into a blazing, unstoppable flame? In Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And this morning, what I hope to accomplish through the message is to educate. All right, here's what will happen this morning. Okay, as I go through the message, I'm going to less preach to you. This morning, I'm more like a counselor and you're on the couch. Okay, I don't have a couch in my office, but if I did, imagine that you're sitting on the couch as a couple or with your children or by yourself. And as we go through these principles that the Bible gives us, here's what we need to understand. A word fitly spoken is beautiful. A word spoken out of turn is devastating. And so, relax this morning. Listen to these words that the scriptures teach us. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And in Colossians 3:19, it says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What we're talking about this morning, there's a fundamental principle in communication that we really need to grasp. In fact, I think there are three things about communication that the scriptures clearly teach. And so the first thing about communication, what is it? It is speaking to each other. And if you go, duh, you're right, duh. But you know how much we've lost the art of communication, especially in the day and age that we live. Okay, speaking to each other is not texting. Okay, texting is not communication. All right, I've done a lot of marital counseling, and I'm always amazed when a couple says, well, we've tried to talk this through and it hasn't worked. And I'll say, well, how have you talked it to you? And they say, let us show you. And they pull out their phones. And I'm like, that's not communicating. There's no way to know what the other person is feeling when you read off of a screen. There's no way to judge any hurt or joy that's in the person's voice when you just read it off of a screen. So, communication is not texting. It is not Facebook or email. If you're so busy that you don't have time to speak to your spouse, then you need to drop something from your schedule. Because if the only way that you can communicate is, well, I sent him a Facebook message, well, you need to fix the priorities in your life. Because communication is speaking. And communication is not messaging. Communication is simply speaking to each other. Number two, as you speak to each other, you're helping the other person understand the meaning of what you are saying. That's why the scriptures tell us that a wise man, when he speaks, or a wise person, a wise woman, that what you will do is you will better the other person's life. How do you do that? It's by helping them understand the meaning of what you're saying, not just saying what's on your mind. Okay? Sometimes that's the worst kind of communication you can have. You say, well, I'm a person that speaks my mind. Yeah, maybe you need to shut up then. Right? I mean, sometimes what's on your mind should not be coming out of your mouth. And so, communication is helping the other person understand the meaning of what you're saying. And so, letter B, explaining yourself in a way where they can understand your intention. If they have to guess at your intention, you have failed in communication. You say, well, they should know me well enough by now. Oh, please. You think they know you well enough? You don't know them well enough to know that they need you to express your intention. Every couple does. Letter C, explaining yourself in a way where they can understand your goals. See, if you bring up a point of contention or an argument of disagreement, and your spouse or your children or your neighbor, whoever it is that you're communicating with, if they don't understand the goal of why you're saying that, if they think that your only goal is to tear them down, then it's going to be destructive. So you need them to understand your goal. And if you're speaking and your only goal is to tear them down, then you're wrong. That's not communication. Communication is expressing a goal, and then letter D, explaining yourself in a way where they can understand your desired outcome. So when we have communication with each other, there should be a desired outcome. If it's just to let you know what I'm thinking, that's not communication. Okay? That's some kind of sick, twisted world where you think that you are able to lord over someone else through what you say. And so you should make sure that you express or explain yourself in a way where they can understand your desired outcome. And then the third part of communication is nonverbal cues. Make sure they do not confuse the message of what you are saying because of your body language. Every time I say that word body language, I think of Little Mermaid and Ursula the Sea Witch. And she goes, body language! All right. Your body language, it makes a big impact on your communication. So make sure you don't lose what you're saying by how you say it. I was flying down to Jamaica 3 years ago to speak at a conference down there. And when I was in the airport, I'm sitting there by myself. I'm bored. I got there too early. And so, you know, kind of hate that. You sit there and wait for the plane. This old couple, they had to be in their 90s. They came into the room. They were going to Jamaica on a vacation. I'm like, that is really cool. And he's carrying like four bags, and she's not carrying anything. And I'm thinking, this dude still got it together. You know, he still knows how to take care of his wife. And he's looking for two open seats that are right next to each other, and there aren't hardly any open seats. And she walks right over to the window, and there is an open seat, one open seat. Now, this couple, they don't say anything to each other during this whole exchange. She walks over, and she stands next to the open seat, and she just stands there like this. He's standing next to two open seats, but it's not by the window. And he puts the baggage down by the two open seats. His wife looks at him and puts her hands on her hips. He picks up the bags and goes over next to her, puts them down next to the open seat, and she sits down next to the open seat, and he stands there. They haven't even said a word to each other. I'm like, these people know how to communicate. I felt bad, so I went over and I asked a person sitting there, I said, hey, can I switch seats with you? So they went over and sat in my seat, and I said, sir, you can sit here, so he could sit next to his wife. He's like, thank you. My back was hurting me. But see, they never even said a word, but they communicated. And you know what was really cool? He knew her express goal to sit next to the window. And he was willing to give up his comfort for her. I'm like, this is awesome. I wish I'd have pulled my phone out and recorded it so that we could all see that nonverbal communication is so important. How you say things may communicate more than what you say. How you say it may communicate more than what you say. In Proverbs 23:7, you take these three thoughts about communication. In Proverbs 23:7, it says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." And I want you to apply these thoughts about communication this way. What you communicate to your wife is what she will think in her heart. And as a person thinks in their heart, that's who they are. What you communicate to your husband is what he will think in his heart. And so what you are saying to your husband is what he will start to think in his heart, and that's who he will be. Now, some of you are just, you're horrified right now, right? You're going, oh my goodness, if that's true. What you communicate to your children is what they will think in their heart. And as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Communication is so important. It's probably the 1A problem in marriage. It's probably the 1A, or probably just number one all by itself, problem between parents and children. And it doesn't have to be parents and children with children still in the house. It can be parents and children where the children are grown and outside of the house. This is a big deal. That's why in the book of Proverbs and also throughout the rest of Scripture, the Bible gives us a lot of thoughts about what we do with our tongue, what we say with our mouths, because there is great impact that we hold. What kind of people are you producing in your home? Simply through your communication, through what you are speaking and how you're speaking it, and with your nonverbal cues that you give them. Your words are convincing the people of your home who they are. So I'm going to give you 7 rules of engagement in speech at home as you communicate. All right? Now, why do we need rules of engagement in our homes? Because we fight so many battles in our homes, don't we? And if you don't fight any battles in your homes, then you're not doing what you should do. Because there are things that we need to fight for in our homes. There are discussions that need to be had. And if you fight at home, that doesn't mean you have a bad home life. It means you just need to learn how to fight fairly. So set these 7 rules of engagement. Now, the first 5 apply to husband, wife, with children, sibling to sibling. They apply across the board. Okay? The last 2 could apply sibling to sibling, could apply, but really parent to child, not so much. Okay? So just keep that in mind as we go through this. The first 5 apply universally. The last 2 are more husband to wife. Okay, number 1, no swearing. As soon as you swear at your spouse, child, parent, neighbor, you've lost. You've lost the ability to communicate to them what you need to communicate, and you've lost their respect. Swearing in your fighting is against the rules, number 1. Number 2, no screaming or name calling. I find the longer I'm married to Rachel, the less she has to raise her voice at me. The less I have to raise my voice at her. Almost 21 years now that we've been married. And you know what? I think we're finally figuring out how to talk to each other. You know, maybe in 10 more years, we'll have it down. You know, when we're 94, we'll be like that couple where we can just look at each other and know what the other one's thinking, right? You see, It takes a lot of work, but I tell you what hurts is when we raise our voice. What's really hurtful is when our children see us raise our voice at each other. And you know, when we raise our voice at our children, sometimes it helps. Sometimes we totally lose the message we're trying to give to our children. No screaming and no name calling. Because remember, as a person thinks in his heart, that's who they are. You tell your spouse long enough that they're worthless, you know what they will be to you? Worthless. No doubt about it. You tell your child, you are so dumb. You know what they will be? At least towards you, they will be dumb. And so make sure that as you communicate, you take this rule, and this is a big rule. No screaming or name calling. Number three, no leaving the house angry before the situation is resolved. Okay? And along with that, you could put down next to it, don't go to bed angry either. Okay? Don't leave the house until the situation is resolved, and don't go to bed angry. I did this once in our marriage. We had only been married about a year, maybe a little over a year. We got into a big argument. Can't remember what the argument was about, but it was a big one. Like, you know, screaming and yelling. The dog got scared, went into a corner. You know, it was one of those types of things. And it was just so adversarial. I was so mad. We didn't know how to communicate with each other. I got into the car and I drove around the block. Well, what was Rachel supposed to think? She calls her parents. She's like, I think Thad just left me. No, I was blowing off steam. But you know what? It did not help. In fact, it made the whole argument worse. And by leaving, I lost the opportunity to make my point viable. By leaving, I automatically lost. And I could not win. We'll get to it in just a minute. The goal is not to win when you fight. But I had automatically lost. Number four, avoid the words always and never. As soon as you tell your spouse, you always, they're not listening to you anymore because they're like, no, I can remember one time I didn't do that. Or you say to your kids, you never, and they're like, I did that one time, Mom. Whoa, you don't remember the good things I do. You only remember the bad things I do. Right? So just avoid those words, always and never. Because those words do not, they don't paint apples of gold and pictures of silver. Instead, it's like a death spiral down the toilet is what you're painting. And so avoid those words. Number five, speak in turns. Listen as much as you speak. Speak in turns. Well, I don't need to hear their point of view because I'm right. No. Listen as much as you speak. Now, hearing and listening are different disciplines. Hearing is allowing the words to enter your consciousness. Okay? I can hear the radio and all three of my children speak at the same time. And it will all enter my consciousness. Do I really understand everything? No. But I can hear all of that. It enters my consciousness. Listening is allowing the words to make a difference. See the difference between hearing and listening? Listening is where, okay, it enters my consciousness, but I'm also allow what is being said to make a difference. Now I can respond to it intelligibly. Rachel laughs because there's been a lot of unintelligible conversation that we've had throughout the years. Number six, and this doesn't necessarily work from parent to child, okay? But this works across a whole lot of the communication we have with other people. Compromisers succeed, conquerors fail. Therefore, compromise, do not conquer. Now, don't go home and go, Pastor Stott wants us to be a bunch of compromisers. Well, I'm never going to compromise. Oh, get the context, all right? Stay with me here. In your marriage especially, you have to compromise. And if you won't, you will fail. Now, when it comes to the truth of the gospel, when it comes to things that are theological and biblical, no, we don't compromise. Not our faith. But when it comes to relationships, we have to find ways to compromise. And if all you can do in your relationship is conquer, with your children even, if all you ever do is, I conquer every discussion we have, you know what? You're going to build some walls there that are really, really hard to overcome. Compromisers, they win. Conquerors, they fail. And then number seven, winning is not the goal. If that's why you fight, then you need to quit fighting. You should never fight again. Winning is not the goal. Understanding and making appropriate alterations is the goal. That's the goal in confrontation. The rule of engagement. The seventh rule is really important because it's your motive. I had a couple that I was counseling. I'll call the guy Jay. Okay, it wasn't here at this church, so it's okay. All right. And Jay had left his wife, moved out, and he was going to the bar every night, and he kissed a female bartender one night, and so it was like his marriage was pretty much over. He had two kids at home, ages 6 and 4. He and his wife met at Notre Dame, University of Notre Dame. They were both cheerleaders there, and you're going, oh, he was a cheerleader? No, he was this big old strong guy, all right? They met as cheerleaders. They both graduated from Notre Dame. He worked as a project manager for a big construction company that did roadways and under road sewage and piping and things. She was a manager of a credit union in Indiana. And they both were very intelligent people. Problem is, they had never communicated with each other. They talked to each other a lot. In fact, even when they were separated, he would come home from work. He would talk with his wife. He would talk with his kids, and then he'd leave. They never communicated. So his boss called me one day and said, hey, you got to talk to this guy because I'm going to fire him because he's become a worthless employee. Because the way we communicate, it eventually is going to, if we have a problem in our marriage, it will tear down the rest of our life. It tears down our relationships around us, not just our marriage. And so the guy, I called him up. He came into my office. He started doing counseling with me. I remember the first time I got him and her together in a room, he confessed to her that he had kissed the bartender. And she turned her ring around so that the diamond, because usually she wore it in. I don't know why. She turned it out, and she just started hitting him on top of the ball. He was bald. Hit him on top of the head. And every time she hit him, she would leave a gash. And I'm going, oh! And I thought, I better stop her. And then I thought, no, he deserves it. So I sat back. I was like, give me some popcorn. Get him! Get him! I was cheering her on. And after she hit him 15, 20 times, she sat back down, and he's got lumps and cuts, and his head's bleeding. And he looks at me, and he's like, you gonna help me? I said, yeah, I'm gonna help you now, but she needed to get that out. He's like, well, thanks. We sat there, we talked. 4 months of counseling. After 4 months of counseling, two things happened. One, they both came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That made a big, big difference. Number two, they learned how to communicate. They had been talking to each other. All seven of these rules of engagement, they broke all seven of them. And we started with rule number one, no swearing. You know what? It changed the way that they communicated overnight. As soon as they quit swearing at each other, all of a sudden they started to have real conversation. And then when they quit screaming at each other and name-calling. They took all seven. And I remember the fourth month, we got done with our counseling session. They walked out hand in hand. They had learned how to communicate. You're here this morning, and you and your spouse or you and your kids, you don't communicate. God wants you to communicate. I had a young man that the court called me up, and I knew the judge really well. She said, I've got this problem teenager. He set a bus on fire, a school bus. I'm like, yeah, he's got problems. She said, well, he's got one of two options. I can either send him away to juvenile detention, or They can do court-mandated counseling with you, and that's up to you, however you want it to happen. I'm like, sure, I'll do, if they're willing to do it, I'll do it. So I started counseling with just Tim first. And after 2 or 3 weeks, he came to know Christ as a Savior. I baptized him. It was awesome. Then I started requiring his parents to come to the counseling sessions. And they started coming. You know, his dad had told him ever since he could walk, you are stupid, you are foolish, you are worthless. And you know what that kid thought about himself? That he was stupid, foolish, and worthless. And he thought, I can't do good. My dad tells me all the time that I can't do it. And I'm like, well, Jesus says you can. And then his mom would tell him routinely, I wish you had never been born. I wish you had never been born. I mean, what could be more hurtful to this young man? No wonder he set the bus on fire. I was surprised he didn't set his house on fire. So they started coming to counseling, mom and dad. They hated it. Because I spent 90% of the time on them, 10% of the time on him. And then, after 2 weeks with them, I said, all right, I'm doing all this for free. Any other court-mandated counselor is going to charge you. I said, here's what I'm charging you. You have to come to church. You come to church, I'll keep doing the counseling. They sent him away to juvenile detention. And that young man spent the next 4 years of his life in juvenile detention because mom and dad were not willing to take the steps to communicate. Now, you say, whoa, I don't have it that bad, so I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, but do you communicate? Are you breaking these laws of engagement? Are you really communicating the right things into your child? Because what are they thinking when they get done talking to you? Are they beautiful? Are they smart? Are they successful? Are they ready to take on the world? Or are they stupid and foolish, dumb, failures? This morning, God wants us to have good communication. As we close out this service, however God is speaking to your heart, I want to ask you, if you're a husband and wife and your communication's lousy, I want to encourage you. You don't have to come up here. It'd be great to come up here. Pray. Just grab each other by the hand where you're at. Pray together. Say, God, we need better communication. You know what? When you include God, you ask God. God is a faithful God. He will help you. If you're here this morning and you're a kid and you're going, man, my parents and I, it's been bad. I know this is hard, teens, children. Take the initiative, grab your parents, and say, please pray with me. Parents, if you know you've had bad communication with your kids, grab them and pray with them. Because, you know, we say, all right, I'm going to do it when I get home. You're not going to do it when you get home. I want to encourage you to do it right here, right now. You know, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All of these principles I talked about, they're going to be very, very hard because the Spirit of God is who motivates us to speak correctly, to live correctly, and have good relationship. The Spirit of God is the only help that I have in my life to keep me straight. And if you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you. I'm going to be standing up here as we sing this final song. Come and tell me that you want to trust Jesus, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about it. But let's close the service out right by making the progress we need toward proper communication. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that you teach us about communication through what you have written. And Lord, we can take what you've written, we can apply it every day in every circumstance. God, I pray that our words that we speak would turn away wrath, not build wrath. That they would be drawing others in to understand good things. Lord, rather than being pushed away and setting other areas of life on fire. So God, I just pray that you would bless this time. Help us, Lord, to have a real desire to have clean hands and pure hearts before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this last song.
Cast out our idols.
give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh, give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. God, let this be a generation that sees, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that sees, who seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands and give us pure hearts.
Excited to be able to leave this place, not because we don't like being together, but because we know that there's hope at home. We know that there is help as well. And Lord, I just pray that we would all be mindful of the way that we communicate, that we would let only that which is good to the use of edifying, that our husbands, our wives, our children, our neighbors, that Lord, we would only use those words which are able to build others up, that we would not tear each other down, and Lord, that you would use it for good. And so, Lord, I am excited for each one of us this morning. We can go and we can put these things into practice. And this message this morning, the reality of communication, it can be real in all of our lives. And so, Lord, we do depend on you for the help in this. We thank you for the help that you will give. And so now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever we could ask or think, be glory and honor and power and dominion both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Have a great week serving him.